Pivot with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome for joining us and on the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. My name is Al Mean and I will be your host today. We have also got with us Ruchir Shade, who has prepared questions from your queries, and we are delighted to answer it. Thank you so much for joining us, Ruchir, and we'll turn the time over to you.
All right. The first question of today is, where do the whales come from?
Oh, well, that's a very fun question. There are actually two locations that I have found where they come from. If they come from more, that's possible. I just, you know, can only tell you what my experience is. So one of the whales that I worked with was a whale that Mother used. She called it the Great White Master. And there was a time when there were multiple beings that had not received feeling bodies because they were actually made by imposter gods that had made them electrically without the magnetic components, because the male is never supposed to create from, you know, from scratch, so to speak. That is Mother's job. So the mother of all creation gave all her creatures the ability to feel. The frequencies that had to be in the fields of each creature, she asked the great white master, which is a white whale, ascended master, she asked him if he would bring in the frequencies for all of them. He came from a planet in Sirius that blew up. And it looks to me like it's something that happened some not very long ago, comparatively, some thousands of years ago. Because I also encountered demons that came from that star area in Sirius that blew up. And there were 32 of these demons, and I write about them, about when we encountered them, when we moved the planet up during ascension. And Mother had me unlock a gate, and we moved into their realms, where only they were, and horrific experiences with them. But I wrote about that in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. They also came from Sirius, and one of the things that they wanted is they wanted others of their race to be restored to the Earth because they had no home. They were all over the spread, all over the cosmos, not having a home. And this was part of their agenda. So there was a planet that had something to do with Sirius B. I don't know the Sirius star system. I only know that something has to do with a blue dwarf, and that when it became a blue dwarf, much destruction happened. So there were whales on one of the planets that happened to. A group of their souls came together in a ring. And they drifted through space and they found our planet. And this is where they settled. And then they started to create bodies for themselves and they became part of the whales. However, the whales also come from Neptune. And Neptune, the planet Neptune in our solar system. So whales have come in from there, and whales have come in from Sirius, and they're on two different levels of consciousness. The whales from Sirius came from a much higher level.
Okay. But what is their function on the planet here, or do they have various functions?
Well, they have a few that I know about. If there's more, I don't know of it. But the humpback whales every year sing in the reproductive codes based on the frequency level for that year. So in other words, from 2006 to 2007, we have gone up dramatically in consciousness because we've been in a full-blown ascension. So this year, the reproduction has to happen at a higher level. And so they sing in the reproductive codes that reproduce at the level that is appropriate for every given moment. So that is a very important function that they have. I believe that the other whales have different functions, but I must tell you that I've never looked into it. If you really, really want to go deeply into it, I will have to go into it, you know, not from experience, but just out of total silence. But other than that, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll do that some other day. And previously you said that you spoke of electromagnetics and you said beings were created by imposter gods, electrical only, and then you said that the male is not supposed to create from scratch. And what does that mean?
It means life, because all beings have been given the ability to create through the heart the circumstances of their life. This is a very great gift that the Mother has given us during 2007. The purpose of existence has changed to creating that which makes our hearts sing. And that ability to create through love, praise, and gratitude, it belongs to male and female. What the creating of life by a male god, like, you know, what is given as teachings in the Christians' religions, often is God the Father made us. Well, if God the Father made us, it would have caused a massive dissension. God the Father did not make humanity, because humanity has been created with feeling bodies, with mental bodies, in completion as archetypes of the cosmos, and they were made by the Mother Goddess herself, birthed by her, and when and where, when the Earth was in a different position in space, is given by the history keepers in the book, The Gift of the Unicorns. But there were some races created by gods who pretended to be the father of all existence. And the father of all existence is the beneficial god that was Mother's first creation. But for multiple eons of time, imposter gods made themselves the god that others pray to. And so we've been praying mostly to an imposter. And the imposter did attempt to make races, and every time he did, creation fell in consciousness.
Okay, but I was just wondering really about sort of the mechanics. I mean, what it concretely means to say that the male shouldn't create from scratch, because from that, it wouldn't really matter if you're an imposter or not, because it would just be about
the
masculine.
They can't create new life. They're not supposed to create new life. There has been experiments done with that, that, you know, fortunately the beings involved with that have ceased to exist at this point. But there have been experiments done with creating what's in someone's mind and externalizing it.
Okay, so that is what it's meant.
Into concreteness.
Right.
Yes.
So, okay, I just wanted to make clear that that is what is meant, because even if we had the original sort of beneficial God the Father, it still would have been a dissension. I mean, am I correct?
Yes. The male is the only creation can happen. What Mother did is she created with him, because he assisted in stepping down her light to a place where beings could handle the light. Father is like the lens through which her light would shine, and then with her love and his input, jointly they burst life. That's not the only way that birth can take place, but with mother and father jointly creating, it is the strongest and most beneficial to light that it can take place.
Okay, but where
but
is
mother
he?
Birth.
Yes, and he represents principle of mind, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then we would really say that when creation is from the mind and separated from the heart, that's when the problems begin.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
but there is more to it, actually, if I may just give this second bit that I'm not sure is clear to everyone. Male rule as the dominant factor creates separatism and dissent. So let's say that it is illegal for a god to produce life from scratch, but he does it anyway. It would constitute male rule. Male rule brings about dissension. It is the rule of the mother, which is the one being expressing as the many, that brings about ascension.
Okay, but male rule, as we see it, is not necessarily about creating life, though, is it?
No, the rule I'm speaking of is not the rule of a god governing his planet or whatever it is. It is determining laws of reality. It's the rule of the cosmos that I'm very specifically speaking of. Currently, father is helping mother govern by his side, but you will still, by her side, but you will still find that when new life or new laws of existence are brought in, that she's the one that does it. Father then implements it. Father administers justice. He does other things. But she is the one that creates something new from the consciousness of her own being.
Okay, but then if you look just sort of at more earthly, planetary politics, is there also something there in terms of the principle of male rule that sort of inherently would generate distortion?
Not necessarily, if the male is whole and comes from his heart as well as his head, and in fact he has to lead with his heart.
Okay, but that doesn't seem too likely at this stage. But
it's very likely at this stage. It just hasn't been likely before.
Okay, but if we were, I was just wondering if we look at sort of politics of the, let's say, of the past, then there might be something there of sort of just mind and no heart, really.
Exactly. A dramatic change would have to take place. But mother has already gathered the keys for this issue of the sacred government being put in place. When will that happen? I don't know. Is it 13 years from now? 30 years from now? I don't know. But in the grand scheme of things, it's soon. Because I've seen mother do the preparations. Multiple, multiple layers of it.
Okay. Well, is it time for a break, or?
Yes. Good thinking. Thank you. We will be right back.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms. We would also be delighted if you would join us on our other show, which is Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension, where we discuss in great detail the concepts needed to understand the transfiguration that takes place during our ascension. Windows into Eternity airs every Sunday night at 8:55 p.m. Pacific Time. The mystical world we live in, if you have just tuned in, is every Friday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. We also want to invite you to take a look at our website, which is www.spiritualjourneys.com. And if you're interested, we would love to have you sign up for our email list, and we do regularly give questions and answers to our email list, and we also take great care to try and answer the questions that you send to us. So, Ruchir, could you tell us any questions that have come in, please?
Yes, well, actually, I wanted to sort of just because before the break you spoke of sacred government, and we spoke of politics and cosmic politics and rulership and mind and heart, and I was actually wondering, because it seems that we've gotten so used to this idea of sort of just the state on this planet being, you know, in a sort of constant deterioration, and things just get worse when that may not be the case anymore. And what, you know, I was wondering, when I'm sure that when you speak of sacred government, you might encounter skepsis from, or cynicism from people as well, and, you know, especially light workers. What do you say to that, like, to that kind of thing?
You know, it is true that I do, and understandably so, because there is a hype that we've been given to believe. I mean, sometimes we might see a model shining away on the television screen, you know, riddled with parasites, anorexic, bulimic, whatever. But the hype is the health, the shine. You know, there's shiny stuff put on her skin to make her glow and all the rest of it. There's a hype given to us through media, through news, through advertisements. You know, on television show, every little family, no matter what tiny little apartment they live in, have a dishwasher, have a washing machine, have a dryer. But the average American family is 72 years in debt based on their current income, because we have seen that as an essential part of life, because it's the hype that was spun for us on the sitcom, for instance. So there is a hype spun, but only bad news happens, because in journalism school, prospective journalists are taught, if there isn't bad news, you make it up. That's the only thing that sells. So we have become very addicted to the drama. And as long as we are addicted, we keep that matrix in place, unfortunately.
Okay, but is that, so that would be the only reason why someone might be skeptical of the idea of sort of government on the planet finally sort of turning benign for once, for a change?
It's unforeseeable how much work is done behind the scenes currently, and some of it not so behind the scenes. Because even, you know, even as I write a book, some of it becomes obsolete. Of course, the eternal principles behind it change slower, but they also change. But it becomes obsolete by the time it has not even gone to the printer. And it used to be a real concern to me, you know, because I used to say, Mother, how can I print this? This is no longer valid. And she used to say, but what you print today won't be valid tomorrow. as you said, it at least it is very important that people see how we've come to where we are, wherever that may be, day by day, and to leave a trail of crumbs through the forest so that they know how we got there. And second, and thirdly, that they can actually see the massive changes that are taking place day by day, that life is not the same anymore. Our station manager, Don, was commenting on the fact that he does see light and energy directly, and the fact is that it has greatly changed. It has become so light and so thick with awareness particles that it blocks out even the vision of his eyes at times. So the point is that the changes have taken place, but how will the average person know it? You know, it's the Ring of Truth. One of our books is called The Ring of Truth, and that book deals with some of the most massive changes that ever happened, which was the changing of polarity in the cosmos when finally, after eons and eons of fall, all illusion was solved. And why it was called that is, I said, Mother, how are they ever going to believe this? And she said, it has the Ring of Truth. Their hearts will know it, even if their head denies it. So other than through the heart, the head is more likely to believe what is still out there.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. Previously, actually, the first question I asked on the show was about whales, and we have another question, which is also about animals, but it's from a different angle, namely, if it's possible that some animals are, well, the phrase that is used is born of distortion, like, for example, I think you've spoken of that as well, but the chimpanzee, can you tell us anything about that?
Yes. The interesting thing is that, you know, as we've seen, the whales from Sirius did not come in long, long ago. The whales from Neptune did. The whales from Sirius are relatively new here, a few thousand years. When they came around the planet, I had but a brief discussion with that great god of the whales, the White Master. He said that when they came in around the planet, that the distorted cries of some of the ape species, for instance, made them shy away. They wanted to go somewhere else. But then the diversity of the planet was so extraordinary, and their hearts knew they were supposed to be here. The distortion of the cries. Chimpanzees, unlike gorillas, are born as out of distortion. Now, what does that mean? It means that they exist to exemplify, to be examples of the cruelty that man perpetuates upon the animal kingdom. A chimp's cruelty is legendary in Africa. I came from Africa, of course, and we have there stories upon stories of they raid other tribes of chimpanzees. They have a contingency of soldiers within their group. They raid the other tribes. They attack the females. They attack the young. And they just eat them in cannibalistic fashion in the most horrific way, tearing them limb from limb. In the beautiful series of movies called The Trials of Life, there's an instance where chimpanzees attack, I believe it was either an orangutan or a gorilla, but again, they eat him alive. There's no mercy. There's no compassion. You find something like a lion. Of course, it eats its prey alive, but they suffocate it by putting the paw on the throat, on the esophagus area, and they suffocate it when they have an elephant, they close the trunk. They suffocate the elephant. But it's not like the dingo dogs or the chimpanzees that take bites out of a living animal without the least compunction. There is merciful killing comparatively. They are mirroring to us the abominable way in which we treat the animals that we ingest as food. The total disrespect for life, for the young, for a living creature. So that is what it's mirroring to us. And some of these animals do. I mean, you get parasites that take over in rainforests, the brains of insects, and grow out of the brains. And make them mad, they make them stagger around, it does horrible things. They infect a specific group of insects. It's because our mind has been infected by social conditioning, and much of the social conditioning is that we must disconnect from the grid that we call entertainment that is barbaric. If something is not uplifting, our mind is not a garbage can. It should not be put in there. You can't put garbage in and expect quality actions to come out.
All right. But is it possible that these animals, like, for example, the chimpanzee, they mirror distortion, I take it. But do you know anything of how they were created, or were they simply created through the divine, but as, you know, to fulfill that function, or were they created by something less divine?
They evolved over time with the cycles of the fall that happened, and they were very much part of the destruction. They mirror that destructiveness of the cycles of the fall. We no longer are in the cycles of the fall. And so it is time for us, as we disconnect from the matrix of that which no longer is part of our life, things like anger, pain, you know, the protectiveness, fear, these things that are being mirrored. If movie makers cannot make something that is fascinating enough to us because it is so life-enhancing that it expands what we previously thought of, it expands where we've previously held our paradigms. That too is fascinating. We don't need the old anymore for entertainment. If we unhook from those, these species will go by the wayside, but obsolete species that have perished will come back.
But you did name in specifically like the chimpanzee mirroring the very much the way in which humanity treats animals, or rather than just distortion in general, or did I misunderstand that?
It would mirror distortion in general, because man also has been killing man.
Right.
Preying upon your own kind, disrespect for the young and the female that will birth the young and perpetuate your own species. It mirrors a lot.
All right. Do we have time for another question?
We have time for one more quick question.
It's about the, I'm not sure if this is a quick question though, but otherwise we'll continue after the break. It's about the Earth's axis and the fact that it's tilted. Apparently this is what creates the seasons, I learned the other day, but is there a specific reason for its being tilted?
The Earth's axis has always tilted due to black magic or any magic that attempts to impose its will at the cost of the whole. So any such magic in the past has tilted the Earth's axis. It has pulled in disasters to do it of one type or another. That is why the axis tilted, because also it takes us linear mind. Let's look at what black magic is and the imposing of our will. It can be said then that a very subtle form of it is social conditioning. Social conditioning tells us how life should be instead of cooperating with life. Social conditioning brings about resistance to that which is before us when it doesn't fit into the box of our belief systems. When that occurs, the Zavuya, which is actually a figure eight that should be vertical through the body, starts to tilt. And when it's in linear time, you're moving out of the moment when it tilts, because thoughts arise as a resistance to life, and thoughts put us immediately into the future or the past, creating this linear time. So when that happens, there's a tilt in our own axis until eventually it lies horizontally through the life force center like a figure eight, and we are then totally in linear time. In a way, a subtle form of black magic is social conditioning. In that it attempts to impose its will and tells life how it should be rather than how it is.
Okay, and since until recently, at least, black magic has always been around in one form or another, you're saying that this sort of is externalized in the Earth's axis?
Yes, it is. Massive black magic came in, and there were two forms of it that came in, which we can discuss right after this commercial break. So please stay with us as our listeners. We are delighted that you've joined us today, and we'll be back soon.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any of the books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, a state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almi's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime, seen through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almi's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. This is our third section on our show, which is entitled The Mystical World We Live In. We're happy you can join us back again, Andrew here. What question did we finish the one that you had asked me? No,
well,
we hadn't.
Sort of.
We just began, didn't we?
Well, you can tell something about black magic.
Okay. You were asking about the Earth's tilt of its axis,
yes,
in relation to black magic, and I had mentioned that there were two major forms of black magic that came to Earth. One, if you look at the walls of Chichen Itza in Mexico, it actually describes the group of Orion that brought in black magic to Earth. That was one form of black magic. And how that happened is there was a very rare ore, and it looks like a white powder. I don't know what it is called. I just had the star language of what that is, and it didn't interpret to anything we knew, so I didn't even bother to try and figure out. But it's a white powder that the Orions used. At the time, there were some corrupt members in the global government that existed on Earth. And their coming to Earth is related in the second half of the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, as told to me by the Cosmic History Keepers, a race that Mother had assigned the task of observing and recording the cosmos's history during the cycles of the fall. The Orions came in and they traded this body of black magic knowledge with some of the leaders of the government at that time, which was the Earth's Council, in exchange for the right to basically pillage the land and mine this particular white powder. They left when it ran out. And apparently they had totally depleted whatever reserves we had of it here on Earth. The black magic they gave was not the blood sacrifice black magic. It was a black magic that utilized various incantations and methods of turning energy upside down that was used anciently by what's called the black Toltecs in the oral traditions of the Toltec Way, which is the mysticism that has been with me for most of my life here. And so they tell on the island of Ruta of the black magicians. The island of Ruta utilized the Orion black magic traditions. It is from there where Wicca comes. Now, Wicca may be used benignly, gray, white, whatever it's used for, that still is its origin. The white magic that is being reestablished on Earth today in the order of the white rose, in the order of the dove, etc., that white magic originates directly from the Creator Goddess, and it's meant to restore humanity's incorruptible magic as their birthright, because every kingdom has it. Angels use it to heal whatever. Fairies use it to make a plant grow. Man used to have it, and then it was stolen from him. So to reinstate it, Mother has now, as of December 2006, been reinstating the orders, bringing the masters through time tunnels to birth these bodies of magic, of the rose in Ireland, of the dove, the Kundalini magic that is in Canada, that's birthed basically by a group of Eastern Europeans along with Canadians. And so that is why she's bringing it back. But the second body of black magic came from the imposter god who is no more. And this god actually brought in this blood sacrifice using the distorted emotion as the power vehicle to create conditions in surrounding reality in which you can impose your will on it. So it's a whole different body of black magic. The black magic that was done on humanity en masse. It reaped their consciousness, their energy in a way that took away their ability of magic. And it's only recently that this that has been taken from them is again restored also in their DNA. So that's, you know, about as much about that one as I can say right now.
All right. Okay, the next question is about, I'm not sure if there's one single answer to this, but it's about Atlantis and how it came to sink.
Yes. Thoth was very proud of Atlantis. He got ousted out of Egypt by his elder brother Marduk, whom we know as Ra. His father, Enki, persuaded persuaded him, look, why don't you just govern the lands of Atlantis? Let's not start a massive global war over this. And Phos was very arrogantly proud of Atlantis. We discussed in previous sections of this program how, in fact, he managed to do it, that Atlantis basically arose mile upon mile of beautiful buildings in a single afternoon by using the power of Itolan. We also discussed the power of Itolan in the Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and I tell you about the time that I was able to go and see it. And then the History Keepers tells us what it really was. And it tells us that in the Secrets, the Gift of the Unicorns and the History of the Cycles, which is the second portion of that book. So he was very arrogantly proud of it. He also intended to take over world dominion, very, very certainly. He intended then to branch out from this world to other worlds. He established various trade with other worlds. He established relationships with other leaders. One such leader we have mentioned before is Oxanohuratep, which he governed 80% and his son 20% of the Antares star system. And so what he did is he actually managed to get some very destructive weapons from other planetary systems. One such weapon was tested on Atlantis and actually went off and blew up Atlantis and caused massive, massive, massive destruction, not just for Atlantis, but everywhere. And that was the last time that Atlantis itself was blown up, which was 9,564 years before the crucifixion of Christ.
Okay, but it had been blown up previously as well then?
It had been blown up previously, and one such time, it actually was sabotaged, again, those weapons, and it was sabotaged by the imposter gods, and there were two imposter goddesses, three imposter gods and two imposter goddesses that put most of their focus on the earth, knowing that it would be and always has been the pivot point of civilization. And so they actually sabotaged it, something that never came to light. It seemed like an accident of a weapon system, again, that Thoth had gathered there. And this happened about 75,000 years ago. It was sabotage, and we only found this out when the History Keepers came forth with their history. Mother had them in a separate pocket of space so that they could observe in a way that illusion couldn't be put in front of their eyes, because they were able to put a lot of illusion over their ill deeds.
Okay. All right. Next question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a completely different subject. It is, if you can tell us what really drives humans to sexual abuse.
Yes. There are various aspects. They have mirrored the fact that there has been abuse from those who were put in positions over humanity that they should never have had. In other words, in the God kingdoms themselves, there was total corruption and abuse of humanity. So it was mirroring that as the big picture. It has mirrored also that the innocence of creation has been exploited by those that have been on earth as governments. So it mirrors that. Then it mirrors, at the very basic level, the fact that we have been living in linear time. Innocence is lost when we live in linear time. Innocence exists only in the moment. When we lose our innocence, we attempt to get it back by plundering the innocence of another. Then, there is another very key element, and that is that there is within us sub-personalities that I write about in quite some detail in Journey to the Heart of God, and also somewhat in A Life of Miracles, because of how important it is. It really was man's role to unravel the secrets of those inner sub-personalities so that all of creation could better understand their role vis-a-vis the one life, the mother of all creation that gave life to all beings. So, the sub-personalities has within us, superimposed over our inner space, if you will, the inner nurturer, the inner child, the inner elder or sage, and the inner warrior. When the inner child is not honored for the unique information and ways in which it contributes to life, if it is not expressed, listened to, protected by the rest of that family, nurtured by the nurturer, guided by the elder or sage, and protected by the warrior, that inner child gets plundered by interactions in our environment. When our own inner child is plundered, mirrors exist in our environment in which we are plundered also. So those are all factors that play out in that situation happening. Then, there are other aspects. Humanity has been the microcosm of the macrocosm. When child races are plundered, when things are stolen from them, and they've been easy pickings because the warrior races in the cosmos did not see them as their fiduciary responsibility to protect. They were a separate race. In other words, when there's separatism, the archetype, which is man, is going to mirror that. And when our inner families don't work well together, when we look at life separatively, that also is a creation that is mirroring the child abuse. Now, there is another thing that has created this situation. Up until August of 2006, and we write very much about this in The Ring of Truth, opposite matter and energy attracted one another. You know, opposite healing, the opposite energy was very good for energy healing modalities. All of a sudden, it would no longer work. Hence, the creation of Belvaspata, Belvaspata, and there's a link to that site on our website. Now, up until that time, major light workers were pulled into homes where there was darkness. Beings everywhere that are able to perceive light could see these massive lights come into these homes of very little light. And because of the opposite energy and matter attracting. And it was very easy for them to manipulate through suggestion and other ways those family members around that major light worker to try and destroy these big lights, knowing that at some point the Earth would start the ascension, which she did in February of 2005, and pull their non-life-enhancing species and races into oblivion. The way to stop it is to target the major light workers that came in. Well, they didn't manage, and those races today are gone. But a lot of light workers have suffered this abuse in an attempt to prevent their light from blooming. Stay with us and we'll be right back after these commercials.
Almeen continues the exploration began in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. This is the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey. She tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.